Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Can I just read you this? This is from Bob Nightingale's column yesterday.
Okay.
Said the Chicago Cubs are quietly preparing for the official announcement that they will host the 2027 All-Star Game now that the stadium is getting upgraded security measures. That happened last week. Bruce told us that they were going to get that All-Star Game, what, like 5 months ago?
Mully and Haw flashback.
Well, our breaking news is that the Chicago Cubs will be named the recipient of the 2027 All-Star Game.
So you're connecting the dots to this?
I'm saying that Bruce is following, like, he had breaking news.
He's prescient.
That hasn't broken yet.
Mully and Haw flashback.
The Cubs are looking at adding that pitcher that we've been talking about, and I wouldn't be shocked over the next week or 10 days, much before the trading deadline, maybe as early as this week, that they make a move for another starting pitcher.
I trust Bruce.
I do too.
That they're going to make a move in the next 10 days because he just told us that.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
You guys know this because you have people like myself.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I love Bruce. That's funny stuff.
Good morning, Mully. Happy Tuesday. I saw Bruce last night at Wrigley Field in the press box, and when I approached him, he just had that grin, that knowing grin on his face, like, yeah, it was quite a fun day, wasn't it? Because his information Monday morning kind of was talked about the rest of the day on the station and in around Chicago baseball. And he's plugged in.
Yeah, he
it's
is.
Fun.
It is fun. And I got to tell you, if you, and I know you did, watched much of Ben Brown last night, that thought went through your head. You were thinking about the upcoming trade, and you were thinking, like, wow, I wonder if they can make it by the third inning.
I wonder if he can get here by morning. Whoever that may be, the ace to be named later, we're ready. Chicago is ready for whoever that is, whoever Bruce was referring to.
It's so mean that we're bringing this up.
It's not that mean. It's practical.
Didn't that go through your
head? Yes, it did, actually.
I mean, Dustin, that had to go through your head.
Oh, yeah. That last night was so rough. I mean, I even got texts from people I normally don't get texts from during that game apologizing for the effort from the Cubs.
You need to buck up a little bit here. We got texters who are already worried about you. They can hear the pain in your voice.
Yeah.
Tough loss.
You know,
I expected more from Ben Brown. You know, every once in a while, we haven't done it a lot, but, you know, there's those must-win statement games.
Mm-hmm.
That was a statement by the Cardinals that they are not going away. They shoved the Cubs last night. They absolutely, and now I'm really curious to see how the Cubs overall respond tonight. They're calling up a guy. They're calling up a guy from the minors to make a start tonight.
The Cardinals are.
Cardinals.
This is an opportunity to rock him.
So let's go.
To make him long for the AAA.
Right.
Yes.
Let's get one of those Jameson Taillon quality starts.
Yes, you need a quality start. Do not roll your eyes. J-Mo's going to come through. I did think, though, somewhere between the second and third home run, Ben Brown, where will you pitch next?
Were all those home runs two-run homers? Like, it wasn't just...
Seemed like it.
Didn't it seem like every one of them was a two-run homer? And they showed at one point... They showed Craig Counsell just turn his back to the field. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Was he turning his
back to the field or going to the bullpen phone?
I don't know what he was doing. It looked like...
He's had enough?
Oh, he looked like he's
had
seen enough.
Yeah,
he did not have it. I kind of like the way he watches the game. They cut over, and he's always kind of hawk-like. Maybe it's the beak, but he looks hawk-like to me, and he's watching it, and then he just
sometimes
yes, 4 2-run homers.
Maybe. I think that sometimes I think it looks like he always looks like he swallowed a lemon. Just kind of a look on his face, like, and well, it's hard to watch.
I think we all swallowed a lemon.
Yes, last night was not very. Was not very promising, and it also
wasn't promising at all.
Okay, you want the takeaway? If you're looking for something,
I got a happy
positive,
takeaway.
Not a happy takeaway.
I got one happy,
but it makes the decision a little bit clearer. It's less ambiguous because I think Ben Brown needs something that allows him to maybe to face mostly right-handers and rely on mostly two pitches as a starter. That's a problem.
The Brewers lost 5-4. To Pittsburgh.
I saw that.
That was the happy news.
I saw that.
Just saying.
Yeah.
That all that happened is they lost a game in the standings to the Cardinals.
That's it.
And the Cardinals are still tied with Milwaukee.
And over the long haul,
two teams are 3-0.
Through the course of this long season, which is about at the halfway mark, the Brewers concern me more than the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I do think the Brewers are going to be more motivated. That's the wrong way to put it. The Brewers are more likely to be viable longer, in my mind, than the Cardinals will be. I don't see the Cardinals going out at the deadline and being aggressive and supplementing the roster as much as maybe other teams will. And I think the Brewers are just going to hang around out of habit.
I'm just checking the scorecard here. The Cardinals aren't supposed to be this good, are they? And they're not even that good, but they're supposed to be bad this year.
They're supposed to be a down year.
Didn't we decide?
We decided.
Okay.
This was not going to be the year in St. Louis.
So what in the blank is this then?
Smoke, mirrors,
okay,
and the Cardinal way.
And so today everything will be okay.
Looking forward to talking to Bernie Miklas at 8:25 because maybe he can help us understand how this is happening again.
Yeah, I'm confounded.
Brief aside. About last night's game, I know the focus will be on Ben Brown and what's next for the Cubs and how he gave up 4 2-run homers, which one looked like the other, right? They all looked alike.
It was
like automatically, boom, it's gone. But every time they hit a home run and every time they panned to the outfield, my head went to the same place. Where are all the people?
Yeah, there weren't a lot of people.
Where are all the
game.
People?
Yeah.
Cubs Cardinals, first time since the season started. It's June 23rd, beautiful Monday night in the city of St. Louis. Where are all the people? Not the church and the steeple. As Molly, you got to have the Twitch stream to really appreciate what you just did and tried to do with your hands. Where,
I treated you
church.
Like a young child.
There's
you said, where are the people? And I showed you the...
Open it up and there are the people.
Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the doors.
Okay, while you're being silly, I'm going to ask Dustin, did you wonder the same thing?
It stuck out like a red flag. Like, the bleachers, you could just move about. I mean, people were going to get the... Instead of somebody catching a home run ball, people were moving to go pick the ball up.
Have people from stopped
where
going
it
to Cardinals
yes,
games?
Yes, the attendance is way
it
down.
It was like watching a Sox game.
It's way down.
There was
empty
seats.
Well, it was like watching a Sox game because the same thing happened in the White Sox.
No.
Lots of home runs by the
Shane
opposition
Smith
last
was,
night.
Was in his Ben Brown form.
Can we stop that? Here are two things we're going to do today.
Yeah,
all right?
Okay.
We're going to stop talking about Ben Brown being part of the Cubs rotation. Mm-hmm. We're going to stop talking about Shane Smith being an all-star.
Oh, my God. You're
okay.
Not allowed to be an all-star.
Those two things are going to be edicts for today.
Can't they pass a law that prevents the Sox from getting an all-star?
Well,
should they have a quick baseball
local
rule?
Ordinance?
Yeah, just saying.
I'll tell you what. If they could do that, then if they forego the all-star selection this year, they will get a tax break in the 78.
Yeah, you take it.
Some sort of local ordinance.
Run like a thief in the night with that one.
But I'm very curious about the attendance situation at Busch Stadium. I don't understand why they have stopped going to Cardinal games. I know that what we said is true. They're not very good, but I thought those were the best fans in baseball.
No.
Just ask them.
Maybe they all got stuck, you know, up in that carpeting.
There's no traffic issues in St. Louis.
Arch.
There's no traffic issues in St. Louis.
No, they get stuck. Sometimes those elevators stop working. It's hard to walk down that arch.
I've been in
like
the arch.
Hundreds of people.
I've been in the arch. I used to like going to St. Louis because of the way the running path along the river there was just very nice. Very soothing, very much.
I don't vacation based on running paths.
Yeah.
I do. Well, not vacation. I went vacation to St. Louis. Who goes to St. Louis for vacation?
I have.
Yeah, I've been to St. Louis for a vacation too.
Really?
Yes. Sorry. It was one of the main vacations I had as a kid.
I took my kids down there too.
I took my kids there. They have the, what's it called? The City Museum?
City Museum.
That's phenomenal.
Great museum.
Great. One of the best museums. It's like an interactive museum for kids.
I stand corrected.
And they have a bar in it so you can watch the kids.
I've only been there for assignments and hockey tournaments.
Yeah, I've been there mainly
Toured Busch Stadium, did the Arch. Our guy Bernie Miklas gave me a ton of great places to check out.
Yeah.
We had a fantastic,
I like St. Louis, actually.
We had a fantastic Italian meal.
Yes,
We stayed at a cool hotel that had like this lobby that showed like light shows in it, all set to music, which was cool. And there was a fantastic barbecue place right down the street from the hotel.
I stayed, I think it's called like, is it Carrollton or Carlton? I stayed at some like suburb and they had like a fresh pasta restaurant there. It was phenomenal and had a really good time in St. Louis.
I don't think that's hard for me to believe. It's a nice place.
It's a nice place.
Gets a bad rap here in Chicago.
Travel down there with the kids, and my wife wasn't feeling well, and packed the car. We got out of the car. Kids are all excited. They got their little like Disney, you know, rolling bags.
Yeah.
Wife and I had no luggage.
Happened?
I left it at home.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a tough memory.
We had like pre-bought tickets to go to the Arch, so we did that. And now we had to go to Target and like buy 3 days worth of clothes.
Man,
my wife was not
it's
happy.
It's a bad memory.
Wow. Not
it's
happy.
It's a bad memory. Jeez. Yeah, that's an expensive vacation.
That's
I'm glad I brought it up. So, St. Louis.
When I was a kid, we drove to St. Louis and we went, you know, we went to the Arch and everything. We went to Six Flags. They used to have one of the first Midwestern Six Flags. It was like a really exciting thing when you're a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
That we didn't have a lot.
I spent 2 days there when they were renaming one of the expressways Mark McGuire Highway.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Wow.
Did you go to Big Mac Land?
I did not, but I remember that being a thing. It was a controversy. It was right after the whole, I don't know, it was early.
Steroid era?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was that debate going on.
Wasn't he brought back as a hitting coach?
Mm-hmm. It was before that.
The Bowling Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Bowling Hall of Fame's there. I've been there.
It's before Sammy reconnected with the Cubs, right?
Yes, it was. That was long before. There's a long 21-year drought there. So there's a lot of time that passed. But whatever they're doing in St. Louis, they're not going to watch baseball games. And they missed a Cardinal romp last night.
Somebody texted in 847, extreme excessive heat warning last night in St.
Louis.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, I mean, it's the Cubs-Cardinals, like, there's plenty of Budweiser. There's plenty of water.
Have you ever looked at Wrigley Field and seen empty seats and said, oh, it's because of the heat warning?
Not for Cubs Cardinals.
Well, I mean, no, but I mean, I know it's sold out, but the other night, that incredibly hot, was it Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
It looked like there were some empty seats. Some of the richer seats people had already left. I'm just saying, when it gets that hot, if it...
Well, it is not safe to be outside.
That's also...
Yeah, it's not safe.
That's south of us, right? That there, it's hotter and more humid even than
about
here.
About 5 hours
which
south.
Is very, very hot here.
Mm-hmm. Well, St. Louis can get very humid.
Yesterday was a hot day. I had to go run to Costco.
Oh, my.
And you know how they have the doors open and everything?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it was hot in the Costco.
Oh, I know. Well, listen.
Did you take a path and you ran there? Did you
there was no running path at my Costco.
I ran indoors yesterday. I did the treadmill thing.
Oh, boy.
I avoided the cold tub. I know you're happy for me. And we did our shows for CHSN at Wright Field.
Yeah, yeah, I saw the wind.
The first show.
You had the young girl from the South Side.
Hold on. Yeah, get there. Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah.
They say on the South Side?
What do they say on the South Side?
They say you can tell a Macaulay girl, but you can't tell her much. See, now that's the kind of line that I would say to that girl, and she would not be as happy.
That's a line that I did not know, and I'm glad I didn't.
Yes.
Because I would have been tempted to.
I'm sorry I said it now.
Yeah.
But I said it as you were interviewing her.
Did you really?
Yeah.
She was very bright.
She was great.
Yeah, she was great. She definitely was a bright spot on the show. And I think that I did the first show, the Big Pro Football Show, with a jacket on. because Clay Harbor had a jacket on.
Oh, and he looked good.
We didn't want to go short sleeve because he had worn a kind of a shirt. He looked like, you know, a bodybuilder. It would have been kind of distracting. But anyway, it was.
Isn't he a bodybuilder?
He is a bodybuilder. Like, yeah. But we did.
Guys did shows yesterday with no sleeves because they're kind of bodybuilders.
Can I tell you a story real quick?
Anyway, let me finish the story. Then I did the second show without the jacket because it was like 95 degrees and it was hot. So it was short sleeves.
My niece was in, who watches apparently a lot of reality television. So I'm watching you talking to Clay Harbor, and she walks in and she's like, "Oh my God, that's Clay Harbor. He was on," and she knew everything about him on The Bachelor.
Are you kidding?
I swear to God.
Oh, I cannot wait to tell him that.
She didn't know anything. She's like, "Does he live in Chicago? What's he doing on that?" And I was like, "Yeah, he's." I gave her his background.
Oh my gosh.
She knew exactly who he was because she saw him. I think he might have been on two different.
He was on The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what she told me.
Yeah, he definitely was.
Is that hilarious?
That is very funny.
I said, I don't know how thrilled he'd be to know that you only know him for that.
He's used to that. He takes it very well. He's
right?
A good sport about it.
Yeah.
But what people, not your niece necessarily,
no.
But it shouldn't obscure the fact he's become a very good analyst. And he's worked
he's
hard.
Done really well.
At
and
doing
I,
that
I
very
think of
well.
Him as a football guy. Yeah. And I don't think, I mean, he's obviously, a good-looking, well-built man.
But it's
I mean,
funny how people look at him and think, well,
I just, it was
bachelor?
Exactly.
Football analyst.
Exactly. Totally different. Two of us
Uncle
sitting.
Mike?
Yeah,
football
exactly.
Analyst.
Yeah, exactly.
Niece? Oh, my gosh. That's Clay Harbor.
That's Clay Harbor from The Bachelor. Like, it was
well,
hysterical.
Then you can understand a little bit why I don't want to, you know, sit next to him when he's wearing just a short-sleeve T-shirt. It's a strapping man.
That's why I'm kind of always shocked, too, that he didn't, you know, I mean, he's probably indifferent about The Bachelor. I know he's trying to, like, move away from that and mm-hmm. be focused
yes.
more on football. But, like, when I think of Clay Harbor, I think of former football player and The Bachelor. That's the two
didn't
things
he ask
I think
us
of.
To remove
did you ever
The
watch?
Bachelor stuff from his open?
He didn't really ask. He
no.
kind of, like,
he was kind of kidding
okay.
about
he
it.
He was kidding. He
yeah.
was joking.
No,
I have seen him in situations him. Where people have brought that up, and he has handled it really professionally because
yeah.
it would get tired. It would get old.
Right.
But I think that...
Yeah, I mean, he did that for how long, you know?
Not quite sure.
And
it wasn't that long.
I'm just
long.
Saying, it's not very long, and yet it's kind
of... It's funny to hear him talk about what goes on or what went on behind the scenes of that show and how it sort of forced the forced conversations and the contrived settings and all of the things that you don't see when you're just sitting there watching it.
Is that the show where they give the roses?
Yes.
Okay, so I will say this. I've never seen an episode of that, but I know that that's the show where they give the roses.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's part of the culture.
It is part of the culture.
I'm aware of some of the tomfoolery going
yes.
on, but I don't watch it, and I don't know anything about it. I've heard, like, did Aaron Rodgers' brother go on that show?
Yes, I think Jordan Rodgers was on there.
So I'm saying, like, I'll find out.
And Clay still has, like, a cousin, I think, involved with one of the shows then, and he still has some connections, so he's still in touch with people who are
he could get
involved.
You in paradise.
Yeah, he could get somebody on there if they needed to. Yeah, he definitely could find the way.
Oh, God.
The young lady that you were referring to, young woman who plays hockey for Mother Macaulay was Abby Murphy.
Oh, okay.
She was a Shy Sox athlete. They
yes.
have
yeah,
NIL deals. And
she was great.
She was a very, very lively personality, a lot of charisma. And she plays hockey for the University of Minnesota.
She reminded me of a Southsider. I know 1,000 people like her. And I don't mean it that she's not unique. I'm saying
yeah.
that kind of down-to-earth.
So,
but
she's very down to earth, very
yes.
easy to talk to,
yes.
right? And
yes.
so we're talking to her on the set. We didn't have very long for the interview.
And her hair.
All over yeah, the place.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was windy.
It was
very
really
windy.
Funny.
So,
well, yeah.
tell this real quick. So we're talking to her, and you're asking about what it means to be a Shy Sox athlete,
yeah.
Mother Macaulay, the hockey journey, when was she started? Then you're done. And then we get off the air, and she's leaving, and you're thanking her. And she's very cordial and personable. And I said, are you working out? And something to the effect of who your favorite player growing up. She's a Patrick Kane. I just worked out today on the same ice with him.
Oh, that's awesome.
That'd have been great to use on the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, Kane must be in town. She's still working out. And
wow, that's great.
It was pretty cool.
Super cool. She's a goalie, right? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
Definitely. No, wait, she's a forward.
She's a forward.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was trying to figure out.
She's from Minnesota.
She
goes to Minnesota. Yeah. She's from the South Side.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you could tell.
Don't be stealing
no.
the South Side or somebody, every one of them.
No, so that was fun. Great.
She was really good.
Back at it tonight. The Sox and the Diamondbacks. Cubs back in St. Louis and hope for better results because it was tough to watch both games last night. Either game.
It was awful.
Yeah.
I had the misfortune of watching one, tuning into the other, or tuning back to the other. It just kept getting worse. It was nothing good. You know, Ben Brown started out okay. Didn't he get through a couple innings? You were kind of like, oh, you know, this is going to be a pretty
just
ugly.
I just was waiting for the inevitable.
Oh, you felt it coming.
Post-game comment about him eating innings, and at least he wasn't that bad because he got us into the sixth. Oh gosh!
Doesn't he work?
Four home runs.
Doesn't he work with like a positive mental
skills coach?
Skills coach, yeah. Right? Something like that. Because he always talks about it after wins,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing he didn't talk about it yesterday after the game.
I did not hear that part, yeah. But I wasn't listening that closely because I was just fed up.
Yeah, no, it was pretty rough.
It was pretty rough.
But he does. He does talk about that. Like whenever he has success, he talks about them.
Yeah, you feel for Ben Brown. He's got enormous potential.
Right.
He's got obvious skills, and he's got nasty stuff.
When he's in command, a long drink of water. How tall is that man? 6'6".
Gotta be 6'5". But
he's pretty tall.
He's tall and he's lanky.
And that usually works with pitching.
You would think, but the home run balls have got to be avoided. Left-handed hitters.
And it wasn't just like, oh, that ball crawled over the fence.
No, these were no doubters.
Yeah.
There were no doubters.
It was like there were guys like standing there.
You could hear the pain in Pat Hughes' voice.
Yeah, it was rough.
Slightly.
It was rough, and it was bad, and there's not much you can do about it. And the good news is the Brewers lost, too.
We're one day away from the NBA draft, which is going to be a two-night affair.
That's ridiculous.
Bulls speculation continues to build around a potential trade. We'll talk about that.
It's ridiculous. It's two nights.
What's ridiculous?
It's two nights. They can zip through the second round, and then you get it over. The problem I have with it, and I'll just say it, and I know I'm going to get this thrown back at me.
Mm-hmm.
There are exceptions to every rule, but for the most part, there aren't enough players in the first round of the draft to make all the NBA rosters. The second round of the NBA draft is not – it's just not compelling enough to keep you – tuned into it for a second night, in my opinion.
That's the rule. The exceptions make you keep coming back for more because I do think you have the Io DeSumos, you have the Jokers, you have other examples of second-round picks. Jalen Brunson, I think, was a second-round pick, if I'm not mistaken.
There's a ton of second-round picks that have made it in the NBA.
So watch because of those guys.
But it's if you broke down the numbers – it's not enough to carry a night of television.
So it's a tough putt for you.
That's it.
I am the guy who advocated the NFL take over the entire week and have one round per night, so I am not going to be criticizing the NBA for going two nights. I think it's a good start.
I mean, I don't know how I feel about the NFL draft going that long. Probably don't like it, but they could always squeeze another day out of
the
NBA.
We could definitely get used to it.
But the NBA draft, I'm sorry.
NBA draft might be straining for interest and storylines on the second night, unless they try to spice it up. Maybe some more trades will be made. There's always something. The NBA, this is silly season. We're hearing all kinds of scenarios going on right now.
You know, here's the thing I keep going back to. If you think about the fact that Kevin Durant was traded, think about every team that was talking about trading for Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
There's about seven teams that had a conversation or were interested in trying to do that. Does that mean they want to trade for someone else?
Yes. It means they want to trade to shake up something for some reason.
Right.
And everybody has a sort of compelling urge to do something to change the roster. Everybody but the Bulls.
It's very true.
The Bulls cling to the status quo, like teams like the Celtics are going out and changing the roster because they know it's going to be a different season, which is why they traded 35-year-old Jrue Holiday yesterday.
Yeah, that was
that was an eye-opener.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that had more to do with age, with deteriorating skills.
No doubt.
I think he scored fewer points than he has since he also didn't make the all-defensive team.
But my point is that it's responsive to a roster reality.
Well, that's
– and the best organizations do that aggressively.
Yes.
And you've got to be proactive, and you've got to do that this week if you're ever going to do it.
And
you've got to
have good players.
You've got to have good players.
But we'll get into it. We'll talk about it. We got to get through all the stories of the day, sadly, even the bad ones. It's the pick six next, Mully and Haw on the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Did Ben Brown pitch well enough to stay in the Cubs rotation? With Shota Imanaga returning Thursday, is Brown's save for the time being? Who are you leaning toward replacing at this point, even if it's a question? Or are you for a six-man rotation for a turn?
Yeah, I think ideally you would get another pitcher in here, frankly, and then you'd have Show to come back, and he could replace Colin Ray, and then the new guy could take Ben Brown's spot. Ben Brown, God bless him. No, I don't think so. I think we've seen enough of him in the rotation for right now. It doesn't mean, you know, he'll never be. He's got a bright future. That was rough. That was really rough. And, you know, he ate innings, David. I know you love that. So he could stick around and give up a couple more.
I am not that guy.
Two-run homers.
For the record.
But, yeah, it was a really bad outing. And I think the other thing is that if you're a living, breathing human, you have to know that there are rumors about them adding to the staff, that Shota's on his way back, that they are trying to decide who sticks in the rotation and who doesn't. And that's what happened. So, I mean, I'm just being honest. I think they got a couple of guys, three guys maybe, that they could replace in the rotation and not be worried about. You know, I don't know. I don't know that they don't have more, frankly, the way things are going. How many runs are they allowing? Holy mother of God.
Well, to answer that question, Mully, they have allowed 7-plus runs in 5 straight games. That's not good. Ben Brown has options. Use them. Ben Brown can be sent down. He can be brought back up. Use the options. That's part of the problem of this little math problem the Cubs are facing right now, is a lot of the bullpen guys don't have options. Some aren't any good anyway, but they don't have options, so you're potentially going to lose them if you put them out there. So no, I'm a hard no on the six-man rotation idea. No.
If it's necessary, you go along with it, but no.
Yeah, at this point, I don't think it's necessary. No. Mm-mm.
You want math? Here's math. In his last 48 innings, Ben Brown's ERA, 6.94. There are a lot of metrics you use to measure pitching success and failure, but that's a pretty damning one. And so it's pretty obvious, too. It's staring you right in the eye. I'm not so sure that his next start won't be at Iowa. And maybe that's for the best. He's got to develop a third pitch. And you don't look at him and you see anything close to consistency. You see a guy that teases you with his potential, because he can have nasty stuff. Like at times he did look like last night that he was going to be on his way. And he has looked like that in previous starts. In this season, he has fooled us into thinking that, oh, wow, the Tigers, he looks dominant there. Oh, wow, look what happens when he comes in the second inning against the Reds. This is the guy that looked good against the Dodgers. And then he gives up four two-run home runs to the Cardinals, the first Cub pitcher since 1912 to allow four two-run homers in a game against the Cardinals. When you make that kind of history, you make it easy to decide what to do next. He deserves a demotion. That is harsh but true and necessary. If you are a team serious about contending, then you can't tolerate this on your pitching staff. I think that Shota comes back, Brown goes down, and maybe the next guy up is Jordan Wicks. What's Kenta Maeda doing at AAA? Has he had a very promising outing the last start out? Whatever it is, I'm not so sure that Ben Brown wouldn't benefit from maybe a month away from Chicago.
The obvious
question is a great question.
My fault there, Brandon. Did Shane Smith pitch himself out of the All-Star game by throwing a three-run home run for his fifth earned run around with a 59 pitch with two outs in just the second inning?
59 pitches.
Well, I have to say, that's a good question, but I'm not so sure that, for me, Shane Smith had ever pitched his way into the All-Star game. I appreciated and understood the rhetoric because every team needs to have a representative, but I thought it was a bit of a stretch. I like the fact that Rule 5 story and Shane Smith is the guy that is thriving and learning a new pitch and succeeding on a bad team, but last night he was awful. He was awful. He was not All-Star-like. He was like a guy that's a fringe major league pitcher last night. That's the way he looked last night. Not to say that he won't be better next time. He's been very good this season, surprisingly so. But I knew it was over last night, well before the 59th pitch in the second inning. He just looked early on like he was struggling with command, didn't have it, and then the home run kind of underscored it.
Well, I was locked into the Cubs game, but I was following along with what was happening in the world of sports on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, and I saw a friend of the show, Scott Merkin, saying that Shane Smith had been removed from the game in the second inning, and I thought, oh no, something physically, I thought there was an injury or something, and then I immediately went to the box score and I said, oh, now I understand why Shane Smith was removed in the second inning. Good story. But, Mully, you and I had a pretty good conversation before the show started today, during the break of the pregame show, about, you know, is that a rule that needs to be looked into nowadays? You know, back when the All-Star game had every team needed to be represented, we didn't get to see all the teams. There were no highlight shows. If there was, it was one a week, or maybe on Saturday mornings there was a collection of things that happened. So maybe the idea of every team having an All-Star, and this is not an anti-White Sox thing before anybody thinks that, maybe that is just outdated, the idea that every team has to have one, because it really should be the best players regardless of your team. So you're the good player on a team that's not worth a darn? Okay, congratulations.
Garrett Crochet deserved to be an All-Star a year ago, and that was the worst team they've ever put on the field.
He did.
But I think Shane Smith looked like an All-Star in previous outings, earlier in the year in particular. I think I will answer this question by answering the second question. When did you know it was over? I knew it was over maybe the second or third time that Stoney said that he did not have his changeup. Oh, like that's his changeup. He's not able to locate his changeup. His changeup was like almost in the dirt. And when you recognized that that pitch wasn't working for him, that meant he wasn't going to be able to pitch, because that was the big breakthrough in what he did. And for whatever reason, he just didn't have it on the night. And so he didn't have anything on the night. He couldn't kind of set up the fastball. He couldn't get away from it. And they just started, you know, honing in on him, and it was difficult to watch as a good team. That was another bad thing that happened yesterday for the Cubs, is that Arizona doesn't look like they're getting knocked out of it anytime soon.
Well, they are in fourth place.
I know, but they are good.
You're probably right.
They probably think they're good, and they probably think if not now.
So no Zach Gallen?
I don't think that's
happening.
No
Merrill Kelly?
I'm pretty sure that they're are you, at this point, if they keep playing the Sox, no chance.
Are you going to tell Bruce or am I?
I'm not going to take any questions.
Did Chris Getz sound like a guy expecting an influx of capital to affect his payroll now that Justin Ishbia has been identified as part of a new ownership succession plan?
That time will come. It will. And we'll have those conversations. But right now, once again, it's really about continuing the development of these guys, learning what they're capable of doing at the major league level. And, you know, if we feel like it's appropriate to supplement the club with free agents, we're going to do that. That's in the plans.
When will the first offseason the White Sox take advantage of a different approach as to spending in the offseason?
Yeah, that's a really good question because, Jerry doesn't seem to have the stomach for it. And he does still want to run the team at least four more years. So I would say that no time soon. Let me just ask this question. I like that they got 10 rookies in the major leagues. Is there any chance that's not going to work out? Is there any chance that you're ruining guys by bringing them up as fast as they are? I don't know the answer to that.
Let's explore that later.
Yeah,
it's an interesting question.
We should get into that a little bit.
I don't think so, but
I don't think so either.
We need to talk about it.
And I think that Brian Bannister, every time I hear him talk, he explains what they're doing. He's very transparent about it.
It's very much rooted in a philosophy, though.
Yes.
We should talk about it later. That's a good point.
I think that's coming up this offseason. There'll be some spending. I'm not talking like spending on Kyle Tucker, which we've kind of joked around about, right? That he'd take the red line and go from Wrigley down to the rate, you know, just to kind of try to really flip the script. That would be amazing. But I do think they're going to do something. So I think you're going to recognize it this offseason.
I don't disagree with that. I think they're going to probably sign somebody this offseason that may raise an eyebrow and make us think, well, that's interesting. That's probably unlike something they haven't. It's unlike the past, and maybe it's a sign of hope. I don't think it's going to be a big ticket Kyle Tucker sized item. I don't think it's going to be somebody like that, but it might be somebody. It's a little bit more. Will it be $100 million contract? I need to think about that. I would doubt that it'll be that big.
That is how I took the question.
Yeah.
So the hundred will they
not
pass the $100 million threshold for an individual player?
Okay. No.
No, I would agree with that.
If I have to answer this on June 24th, I'd say no.
Yes.
As this goes on, maybe we can explore if he is more interested in getting involved. I'll tell you what, that would be the way to underscore your involvement and to announce your arrival. You want to make a splash in this offseason? Sign a $100 million free agent.
One of two teams, them and the A's, that have never done it.
And if they do that this offseason, you'll know things will be different. If they don't, you're going to have people convinced it's going to be more of the same.
Ishbia is building a house worth more than the highest contract the Sox have ever given to a
$77 million mansion in Winnetka. Andrew Benintendi, $75 million. House greater than left fielder.
I guess the question that you asked me rather than answering it directly is...
That is the voice of Bruce Levine, and Bruce will join Mully and Haw at 7:25 this morning. Bruce was out at the rate, and do you think Chris Getz is bluffing when he said this about potentially holding on to Luis Robert Jr.?
That's a real possibility. I mean, you know, when you still watch Luis Robert play, you're looking at a guy that can change the game pretty quickly in a lot of different ways. And those types of players are hard to find, you know, and that's the reason why there's a lot of attention on Luis Robert, because he's earned that right, because he's performed at a high level, and to find talent like that is not easy. So, you know, obviously he's been more productive in the past, but that doesn't mean that we don't believe in the potential here with the Chicago White Sox. We've never out there making phone calls on you know, about Luis Robert. It's teams calling us, and we have conversations, and we kind of stick to the plan that we've been working by, you know, so far, in which if we feel like we can help the long-term health of the organization, so be it. But we like having Luis Robert, and I enjoy having him in the lineup on a nightly basis.
Does it matter what a GM says to another GM?
I really don't think so, especially in this case. When a team wants Luis Robert Jr. badly enough, they're just going to go out and trade for him. They're going to make the offer. They're going to come up with the prospects, and they're going to be fixated on getting a player who their scouts tell them is past whatever hurdle that he needed to pass and is better at doing this or that. He's not chasing anymore, and he's not doing this with his swing. He does have discipline problems at the plate. But I think also Chris Getz is finding a lot of creative new ways to talk about the same thing. And I think this latest one, hey, we could keep him, is probably him realizing that they may have to keep him. Because if there's not a trade market that exists, you're not going to give him away. And I don't think you're going to DFA somebody with that talent. So I do think he's probably talking about the same thing he keeps talking about. And that's the range of possibilities. They could trade him to a team that wants him, and there aren't any that exist right now. Or you might have to come to the conclusion that you have to keep him.
Well, could this be, going back to our last question, could this be in play where Ishbia thinks that the $20 million club option isn't really a thing? Like, hey, I want to keep this guy around. I want, let's keep him around for the $20 million, hope that he regains his form, and then maybe we can actually trade him for something that is worthwhile. A team gets an injury. Maybe that's the kind of thing where we see this money coming into play that we were just talking about in the last question, but maybe not.
You look really mad at me about
my answer.
I know, I'm not mad
there.
At all. I think that the problem is that you somehow believe that Ishbia is talking to Jerry on a daily basis and making all sorts of baseball suggestions, or I'll pick up this. I don't think he's the owner yet. I think that there's a succession plan and that he's in it and he has an investment in it, but I don't think he has any extra influence on Jerry than his baseball people might. I think that this is Chris Getz. This is him doing what you have to do. By all accounts, they're going to trade this guy. By all accounts, they are not going to pick up that $20 million option. So if they cannot trade this guy, if he doesn't come out of it to a point where they can make a deal, or if they don't, if they feel that whatever draft compensation they might be able to get if they DFA him, or if they, you know, don't pick up the option, is better than whatever they're being offered in a trade, that's how he'll leave the organization. I think he's got one foot out the door and one foot on a banana peel. I think it's over.
Different question on a different topic.
All right, plenty of questions to ask Mike Florio. The NFL never stops. I'll be with you guys at 8:44. How about the Athletic's newest NBA mock draft, which has the Bulls taking French teenager Jean Berger. There's really interesting pronunciations. Brandon and I are furiously looking at how to make sure we say this game's.
You just made it. You made a decision. You made a choice.
That was very good.
I made a choice.
That was excellent.
I think
he needs a little more attitude, though. Jean Berger.
Jean.
A little too soft. Jean. Needs a little bit more.
Jean.
We'll get you some stuff from the European Basketball League later on.
Okay.
Have some fun with that. A 6'10" high energy style center who would fill their playing style. Would you like to see a speedy, rangy, but inexperienced boom or bust type if only started playing basketball at the age of 15 and hope he grows into an NBA talent?
I loved your pronunciation and I loved the way you committed to it. I guess I found that fascinating. A 19-year-old who has played basketball for 4 years. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but who knows? I don't know how good this kid is. I might slow down my deep dive until I see if they take him, but I think that would technically fit the style of basketball they want to play, right? If they want to get rid of Vooch and they want to bring in a guy that can run the floor, sounds like that's what this kid does. Sounds like athletic, you know, high energy, run the floor, guy can help you in ways that Vooch can't, but can't help you in other ways that Vooch could. Makes sense to do that. They need size, and you know we want a member of the Crab Five. I think we've made that clear that Derek Queen is this show's selection, but it doesn't look like they're going to take him. It doesn't look like they believe he has the kind of athleticism where he could run the floor like this. So you take a bouncy, fast, young guy, and then, you know, you deal with the Tyrus Thomas problems that follow that.
That's a blast from the past.
I just, can the Bulls stop being cute? That's what I'm just thinking. Okay, come on.
It's just a mock draft. It's just a mock draft.
I know. I want to side more with the Dustin. With the Yahoo, the most recent Yahoo Sports mock draft, who has the same guy that we want, Derek Queen, center, Maryland. Here's my little bit of a fear, though, is that if the kid from Illinois is there,
Shaka Shonas?
If he's there, I feel like they're going. That's the kind of guy that they're going to take.
Kasper, and in this Shaka particular Shonas.
In this particular mock,
just remember, I told you that back in March. You're right.
The other part about this mock draft is this Frenchman that the Athletic Jean Berger, not even in the top 30 picks. So, I mean, it's crazy. The Athletic says he's going to get picked 12th overall. Yahoo Sports says he's not in the top 30. So, which one is it?
I do not know. I honestly do not know. And I have nothing against the French. But can the Bulls not find somebody who was sleeping with the basketball since he was 5 years old rather than finding someone who just picked one up for the first time 5 years ago? This just seems like a project. This seems like a project. And he didn't play basketball since 2021 is when he started playing basketball. I mean, come on. Maybe this would be a smart, intelligent pick. You know what it also would do? It would buy them time, which is why it scares you a little bit. Because you draft a project, and it buys you time. I want somebody who is coming in here ready to go and can be part of your rotation. And you know what he is based on what you have seen him do. I do think we are all biased. Yes, we all want the Bulls to queen us. Queen me, Derek Queen.
Do you trust them?
Do I trust the Bulls? That's a great question. That's probably a great topic for tomorrow. But to address it today and now, they have given us every reason to be skeptical about their draft decisions. Yes, I think that's a valid concern. They have not earned the benefit of the doubt. No. I'm not as critical and as fed up as some people who analyze and watch the Bulls regularly are, but I also think that you have to be fair here, and part of being fair is being honest about what they haven't done, and what they haven't done is proven themselves as adept drafters, and I don't think that Matas Bezelis is enough answer. To convince us.
That's a great answer.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
All right, David, I'm going to look for a little assist here, a little power play assist. The Blackhawks made a medium-sized trade on Monday in acquiring forward.
That's Andre Burakovsky.
From the Kraken for Joe Valino.
Close enough.
Burakovsky, 30, projects as a top-six winger for the Hawks. What do you think? And how does this affect the possibility of trading the third overall pick before Friday's NHL draft?
Frank Saravalli told us on the Chicago Lead last night on CHSN that the shopping of the third overall pick might be diminished. It might not be as possible or as likely as he thought a week ago when he reported it, because they have found that there isn't a great enough, big enough market perhaps. So that's quieted down a little bit. This trade for Burakovsky might be in reaction to that or in conjunction with that. What they got was a top six winger who has been a winner. He's 30 years old, and he does fit the bill. He's a good guy to have in the room, as they say. You watch some videos of him doing interviewed. Real affable, good team guy. Also has a little bit of oomph for the offense, and I think that's needed too. He has won cups for Washington. He won a cup in Colorado. So he does have a winning pedigree, and he fits the profile of a guy they're trying to surround Connor Bedard with. Unfortunately, you talk about the benefit of the doubt. You're a little skeptical. Only this for this reason. A year ago at this time in the summer, they also had some veterans you thought were going to be guys to help Connor Bedard develop. So this feels like one of those types of moves, but I like it.
I like the winning pedigree part of it. He's been around some winning organizations, so that's good. Look behind the curtain, though. I almost did not use this question just because of the pronunciations, but both of you guys submitted a question around it, so I felt obligated to use
that's
it.
Awesome. That is so...
That's honesty.
That's very revealing about what... So, David, I've seen you submit a pronunciation chart. Sometimes you phonetically spell it. We should have done that.
We should have done that.
I'm not
sure I understand. What was that? I missed that.
Heat exhaustion from being out of the rate. I neglected that.
Honest to God, I'm not sure I understand this one because it is a veteran guy who, by all everything I'm reading, that they need to have like young playmakers that can set him up, and they can get a lot out of him if they can give him the puck in the right situation in the right way. He's not a guy that is going to sort of dominate on his own. He's more of a team guy, and they need to include him and make sure that they're taking care of him. I was thinking that particularly with Bedard, we were hoping he would get more selfish and not be worrying about taking. And I'm not saying he's playing with Bedard, but I wonder. Whenever you talk about a team that used all these teenagers and all these young dudes at the end of last season, you wonder if anyone is taking away time from somebody. Does this mean that Frankie Nazar doesn't get the same amount of time? And I know it doesn't.
Right.
But I'm just saying, for instance, I'm just thinking of a name off the top of my head who I think is ready to break through. I just... don't know if it fits the timeline. I don't know if he is an entity unto himself. It reads more like he's part of a group, and I wouldn't want my top players to be worrying about including anyone, and he's 30 years old. I'm just not sure how it works or how it fits. I will hold judgment until I get a chance to see it. But it just makes you wonder whenever it's not a frontline guy. It's sort of a medium, as you say. And you always wonder about that.
It's not a significant move. It's a medium-sized move.
That's what I'm saying.
And you wonder about it. Those are really good points. I think what you look at as well, and this is maybe a little bit more in the weeds for like NHL salary cap stuff, but they have to spend a certain amount to get to the salary cap floor and to stay there. And so you have to look at, everyone talks about how much space they have left, but you need to get to a certain point because of all the young players you mentioned. They're not making a ton of money.
Right.
So you bring in Burakovsky, he's making $5.5 million a year. Will he earn it? He better. I don't know that he will, but I think that they have to take these kind of chances, and they can afford to. Not only can they afford to, they must.
Yeah, but I mean, I would rather them get guys that are going to change the way the outcome of games than guys that are getting you to the salary cap floor.
I know what you're saying, and I don't disagree with that. I think it reminds me a little bit of, the most overlooked player on the Hawks last season was Ilya Mikheyev, and he's a guy that was really quietly consistent, and he didn't get a lot of attention, and he made like $4 million. And I think this could be, if he stays healthy, one of those types of moves. We'll see. They have a lot more work to do, and let's hope this doesn't change their quest for Mitch Marner in free agency, which seems like a long shot, but I'm very curious what they do Friday night when they draft third.
It's your quest.
My quest. Okay, thank you. Yeah. My quest.
Okay. We got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Our guy, Bruce Levine, told us yesterday the Cubs were planning to make a move for a pitcher within the next 7 to 10 days. Bruce said of the Cubs,
I mean, they're going for it. They're proactive.
Will you be disappointed if it takes much longer than that?
Slightly, but I'm going to keep my perspective, hopefully, and patience, because by the end of the week seems a little fast. By the next spin through the rotation seems a little bit hasty. I would say by the end of June. That's next week. So that would be great. The focus for me, even though we had a lot of fun speculating about the potential names he could have been referring to, and maybe there are names out there that we didn't mention, and maybe some of them make sense. But I do believe Sandy Alcantara is a former Cy Young Award winner who is coming off Tommy John surgery and has shown, not recently, but he's had it in the last 3 years, I believe, or a couple years. And I think that he's a guy that has the stuff and the capability and is not that far removed from being a dominant pitcher. He shows signs of that this year. He could be a guy that is a difference maker. If the Marlins, who negotiated with the Cubs over Lizardo in the offseason and they wanted Owen Casey, still want Owen Casey, that's a high price of playing poker in MLB at the trade deadline. Or if in going for it, as we know the Cubs are, or we're saying that they are inclined to be, a team ready to contend for a championship. It takes something to get something. The price will be high, and it could be worth taking that risk because of the reward. So, yeah, I will get a little bit antsy if we get to July 1st and they still haven't made a move. But if the move that eventually they make is Sandy Alcantara, I will definitely be excited about that deal.
The trouble is, if it goes to July 1st, I just mentioned the Cubs have a 3.5-game lead over the Cardinals and the Brewers. They might be all even come July 1st.
Season over July 1st?
Well, David, I will say this. Tonight is a must-win statement game for the Cubs. It is a must-win statement game after the Cardinals punched them in the face last night to start this 4-game series.
You know, here's the problem. The problem is it's difficult to be patient. It's difficult to wait. You know, they have Shota coming back, and that is huge. And that is like, that's going to be a lot of fun. But what if he stalled a little? What if he doesn't come back as good as he had been? Or what if, you know, there's any kind of setback of any sort? I'm just saying, you know, guy coming back, that's what they need. Yeah, then they can get back on track. But they needed a pitcher when they lost Justin Steele, when they lost the guy that opened last season, not this season, that was Shota. I don't know. I still think pitching is so crucial, and they've had a really good run, but the weather is now getting all hotted up, as the Brits would say. And with that comes the bats. It's almost like we are now getting into a portion of the program where, what did you say, Dustin? 7 runs a game over the last 5 games?
7 plus, yep. 7 or more.
That's insane,
and
isn't it?
1-4 in the last 5.
Surprising turn. It really is.
And that's why they're 1-4 in the last 5. Because you started allowing runs like that, I don't know how you win games.
Yeah, I think the Cubs scored like 23 against the Mariners, but they gave up 30. You know, I mean,
you feel good about Boyd, you feel good about Tyone, and you feel good about Shota returning. After that, it's a crapshoot. You don't feel very confident in your 4th and 5th starters any longer. That's why Cade Horton has meant so much. Where does he fit in? Is he 4.5? Is he 5? But I do think you feel okay when he goes to the mound, but he's still a rookie.
It takes a couple years to build up your arm. I know no one wants to hear that, and we don't want to think about it, but that's just the reality of pitching.
You know what's hard? What's hard to fathom, or not? I'm say hard to fathom. What you said is valid, but what it's weighed against is that you look at Paul Skenes, you look at Jacob Mizorowski, and you think, well, they're young players, they're young pitchers. Why doesn't it take them long for their arms to develop and the innings to pile up? Because they are making impacts immediately, and they did with the respective teams.
But you know, Skenes has done it.
the other guy hasn't done it yet.
Molly, though,
Cade Horton has made an immediate impact.
He has,
his team.
And I think that's what you like to see, and that's why you're encouraged. But you're right; it's not something you can count on because you don't know. That's why they're rookies. But Mizrowski, in two starts,
I know
if he was doing this in Chicago, goodness, he'd be a national phenomenon. He's doing it very relatively quietly in Milwaukee.
But it is two starts.
I know, but did you watch them?
Yeah, they were good.
24, I mean, all the numbers about the 100-mile-per-hour pitches, and he's throwing 96-mile-per-hour sliders.
But Kerry Wood came up and had one of the greatest starts we've ever seen.
How'd that go?
It didn't end well.
Okay.
That's my point.
The Cubs need right now, as every Cub fan will of a certain age can remember, as our guy Mitch Rosen just pointed out, they need their version of the 1984 Rick Sutcliffe trade.
That is exactly. We've talked about that. Mitch is absolutely right.
They need that deal to be made.
That was one of the greatest deals you've ever seen.
It was historic.
The whole summer turned into this party.
It was the Red Baron summer.
It was unbelievable.
It was, and it really set the stage. Now, that was remarkable. He was 16-1.
It was incredible.
He
turned their fortunes. It was, and he just won every time he took the mound.
It was the kind of season that was referenced when Jake Arrieta was going on his run back in 2015 and 2016. It was the kind of move the Jed Hoyer needs to make. Now that's all, Jed. Go out and make a historically good trade.
Yeah, no, I don't know that you can do that without somebody helping you out a little bit. But that is exactly, if you could get somebody that could dominate like that, and you think if your man in Miami might be able to do that.
And yes, 219 texter, Mel Hall and Joe Carter. Those are the guys in that deal.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Good deal.
Pretty good. All right, 312-644-6767 is the number. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Turner hits a grounder to short. This is going to do it. The throw to second. There's the force. And the ball game is over. The Cardinals have beaten the Cubs in the opener by a score of 8-2.
Welcome back. Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. That was the final out of the Cubs' demoralizing loss. That's a little strong. Loss to the Cardinals on Monday night. Justin Turner made the out because he was in the lineup. Why was he in the lineup? Good question. He was in the lineup because he hits from the right side. And Matthew Liberatore pitches from the left side. Let's look at the splits real quick before we get out to the phone lines. Michael Bush against lefties is 4-for-33 this year with a 121 batting average. His OPS against right-handers is 948. Justin Turner has a 255 batting average, 13 hits and 51 plate appearances against left-handed pitchers. One homer, six runs batted in. 644 OPS. I get the numbers. Favor Turner. But I also don't think Michael Bush has been given enough an opportunity to hit against left-handers. That's why the numbers are as limited. 33 at-bats, not enough to have it's a small sample size, as they say. He's one of your best hitters. Let him hit. 312-644-6767. Let's start the conversation with our guy, Kevin in Palatine. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, good morning. And David, you just hit it on the head. I saw the lineup before the game, and I'm like, here Craig goes again. Just how is he supposed to learn to hit against lefties, and why not put him against that lefty? That guy's not even that good. It's not like you were facing Tariq Skubal. This guy, he does a 40-minute show tomorrow afternoon. Bruce is with him every day. Can someone ask the guy the question? He's never been asked. Why doesn't he get asked this question? Because you're sitting the guy that actually is capable of hitting the ball over the fence. And here's the point. The lefty who starts doesn't pitch the whole game. So maybe in the seventh or eighth inning, he gets to hit against the righty. And he has enough rest. So, I consider that Craig waving the white flag before that game started yesterday and leaving Ben Brown out there to get his brains beat in. And I know, the joke earlier about, he got us into the sixth. The kid is wrecked. He needs to get out. He needs to get out of the rotation. But
yes,
Craig,
it's a good point.
Someone needs to ask this guy the question.
Great point, Kevin. I think definitely he needs to be asked. Also, enough with the out-getters. I understand that's part of it. But I want run preventers as much as I want out-getters. I want game winners. I want guys who are going to not just eat innings. And that's a valid point. And also, Michael Bush, how do you know that he can't give him more of an opportunity? It's just too small of a sample size. And if he is going to sit on the bench, why is Dansby Swanson batting fourth? It's a good question, Texter. 224 Texter asked that, and he should be batting eighth. I don't know as low as eighth, but fourth makes you wonder.
All right. We'll be right back. 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.